This morning we looked at chapters 1 and 2, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae and some instructions he gave to the Christians there. And he talked about the fact that these Christians were people that he was thankful for. He expressed his thankfulness for them in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, when he said he was thankful for their faith and for the love that they had for one another. He mentioned the fact that as Christians they had hope through the gospel, and the fact that they were to be bearing fruit and growing spiritually as Christians. They were to continue to study. Paul prayed for their continued growth. He prayed for their continued improvement as Christians, that they would realize the blessings that they have from God through Christ Jesus. And he sets out the requirements there in Colossians chapter 1 that were given, that Christians may be able then to enjoy spiritual blessings, some things that we need to do. And Paul explains to them that they need to stay within the bounds and the borders of what's been taught to them from the Word of God, that they need to stay with the preaching of the gospel and listen to what the gospel says and not listen to anyone who would change the gospel in any way, any outside sources or any doctrines of men, because what he taught was from God. And he encouraged them then to stay within the realm of what God has taught through his word, the gospel, so that they might be faithful. We went on and studied this morning a little bit further concerning the church at Colossae and those Christians. And he talked about the fact that they had the full assurance of faith. They had full assurance of the fact that they could have the knowledge they needed if they stayed within the Word of God and studied it. He taught them that and encouraged them to understand that through the obedience to the gospel and the continual study of the gospel, that they could be people who would be disciplined according to God's will, that they could have stability in the faith, and that their salvation and that their spiritual security was found in Christ Jesus. And if you stay in Christ Jesus, your spiritual security will be guaranteed, because through faithfulness we will enter the rewards of heaven one day. He went ahead then and reiterated in chapter 2 the fact that the obedience to the gospel is important, to stay within that, and the mindset that we ought to have toward the gospel. This evening, let's continue in Colossians chapter 3 and look at some of the things that he says concerning our life as Christians. He talks about a number of things here in this chapter, chapter 3 and 4, that we as Christians need to have. And chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, those are the verses that we ended with this morning in a lesson. And we'll go back and see that one important factor in the life of a Christian is that we need to have the proper mindset. The mindset on things of God, things that are from above. He says in verse 2 there, set your mind or set your affections on things above. And he emphasized the fact that we ought not to let our mind wander and go back to the things of the earth or the things of the world or the ways of the world, but to set our affections on the things that are from God. And he says if we're Christians, if we're faithful Christians, we're going to do just that. In verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And he goes on to point out that the reason Christians need to do this is because, he says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So obedience to the gospel, faithful living according to what the gospel teaches us to do is important, with our minds set on the Word of God, our minds set on the things above, our mind set on the things that God wants us to know in our life so that we can apply those things and serve God faithfully. So the proper mindset goes back to what Jesus said in Matthew 6, chapter 6 and verse 33, when he encouraged all people then to set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so first things first, priority, have the right mindset. Set our mind on God and on spiritual things and on doing His will. Secondly, we see in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, that we as Christians ought to have the proper actions in our life and a lifestyle that reflects what God wants us to be, because we now belong to Him. We're no longer to be like we were before when we became a Christian, but after learning the truth and having been baptized into Christ and having our sins washed away, there ought to be a continual change in our life, a continual improvement. a continual day by day better things that we see in our life because we're conforming our life to the way of God. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. So for the Christian, once we've been baptized into Christ and we start studying the Word of God and we apply that Word to our life, there's going to be a change in our lifestyle. There's going to be a change in our actions because we're no longer going to be attuned to the things of the world. We're going to put them aside and resist those things and put away those actions that we may have had before. And our mind is going to be set on things above, so there will be a change. He goes on then in verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So there's a change. The old self, the man of sin, the woman of sin, before we were baptized into Christ, now we put on Christ. And we go to His Word and we study His Word and learn. So the things we did before of a worldly nature need to be put on hold. There needs to be a halt to those. And then we start applying the things that we learn from the will of God. He goes on then in verse 12 and he says, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, after putting everything off of the world and turning away from the world to Christ, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Verse 15, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So as Paul writes to the Christians at Colossae, he says some important things that apply to us today also, in that our mindset will change when we become a Christian. We're seeking the things that are above. We're studying the gospel. We're studying the words of God. And we're applying them to our life. So there's going to be a lifestyle change. Our words and actions will no longer be that of the world. We'll put off the old man of sin and put on the new person of Christ and follow through. So we need to have that mindset that's in keeping with the will of God, and our actions and lifestyle attuned and shaping every day according to what God wants us to do. Well, verses 18 through 21 of Colossians chapter 3. Paul goes on and we just see a stair step of things that we continue to do as Christians. Not only in our daily life and our actions and our words and our deeds and our mannerisms, the things we partake of, going to be different because now we're Christians and we're being led by the Word of God, but he says that we ought to have a good home life as Christians. Simply stated that we should be able to be a good husband and a good wife, a good partner in marriage, a good parent, and children who are obedient. Let's look at these verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And verse 21, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. So, the home life. The life of a Christian on a daily basis, the things we think, the things we say, the things we do. As a Christian then, conforming our life to the will of God, our home life will be better because we're going to be trying and striving and taking the Word of God and applying it to our life so we can be that husband that's what he ought to be toward his wife. And that wife can be what she ought to be toward her husband because she's listening to God's instructions. She's listening to the will of God. She'll love her husband. She'll honor her husband. She'll respect her husband. And the husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And those parents then, that husband and wife, that partnership in marriage, when they become parents, they will love their children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they will have children then that will respect their parents. So it all falls together in following God and being a Christian and doing the will of God. When our mindset's right, when our attitude is right, when we conform to the teaching of the gospel and our life changes and it is shaping up according to what God wants us to do, our daily life is better, it's improved, it's a good example, and our home life will improve. So the things that Paul said concerning the life of those people at Colossae and the things he encouraged them to be then will help us today in 2014 to be the kind of people we need to be so we can please God and our life can be better for us also in the service of God. Well, chapter 3, verse 22 through chapter 4 and verse 1, and then we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Christians then who are obeying the gospel, having their mindset right, and have put off the old man and put on the new man, and doing the will of God will not only have a good life on a daily basis, and will strive to do God's will, and will work toward having a home life that's obedient to God, but we will work as Christians to be people who have the proper business and working relations with other people. We live in a world and in a society when there are so many things that go on, and you hear about so many people that are filled with distrust. And there are so many people that are not upfront and truthful in their business dealings. For the Christian, when we follow the plan that God has given us, we will follow proper business ethics. We will be people who will have good working relationships because we'll treat other people as we ought to be treated ourselves, and we'll treat other people as God would have us to treat them. So when people do that, it results in a better relationship at work and in business. Let's look at what he says concerning the treatment of one another on a business and working relationship. Chapter 3, verse 22, and we'll read through chapter 4 and verse 1, and then look at verses 5 and 6. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So here you have those in that day and time, literally people who were slaves, who were bound by their masters. Their masters perhaps owned them. They were obligated to them, but in the same relationship, those today we could apply it to those who would work for someone else for income and for things to help them have a life. We would have the right relationship toward those with whom we come in contact with when we work for them. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth. And so verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. So when we're in a working relationship and my employer expects me to do certain things and he requires me to be at work on a certain time, he asks me to do a certain task on that during the day and fulfill my duties, then as a Christian, for the betterment of myself and the betterment of my employer and that person that has the oversight over me in the working relationship, I ought to be a dependable employee. I ought to be there on time. I should do my work the way he asked me to do it, and I should be productive in the work that I do. I should respect the things that he asked me to do as long as they're not something that God would tell us is wrong. And so having a good working relationship between those who would work for others, the hired help, those we would be employed by others, employer-employee relationship. And then verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequence of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. And certainly, when Paul wrote this, there were those, as I said, who owned slaves. There were some slaves who were Christians, such as in the case of Onesimus and others that was written about in the New Testament, wherein there were those who had a responsibility toward their master to their slaves. But today, in our day and time, in a business relationship, a working relationship, the same standard still applies. That would be honest, would be dependable. We would be people who could be expected to do the thing that's right on the job. Then he goes ahead in verses verse 1 of chapter 4 and says, "Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." So there you go. We've talked about me as an employee working for an employer, or a slave serving a master. And now here's the one who owns a business, one who is a someone who has a business that others work for them in that business, or maybe it's someone who is in charge of a business working for someone else, and they have employees who answer to them. That person has a responsibility to treat them correctly. And that's what Paul's saying in Colossians 3, 22 through chapter 4, verse 1. There is a right way and a wrong way between the master and the slave. There's a right way and the wrong way between the employer and the employee. There's a right way and the wrong way between the worker and the supervisor. And so the way to have the right relationship and the right attitude and the best for all is to see what God says about it. Treat each other the right way. Grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 of Colossians chapter 4. He says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." Outsiders, anyone who is not a Christian that we have association with, whether it be at the workplace as an employer or employee, whether it be in the social realm of just being out and about in the community, whether it be in doing business with someone at the bank or at the credit union, or going and buying and selling, or whether it's just out socially in the community, we ought to be the kind of people who hold up our life with a proper relationship toward one another. And so the teachings that Paul has for those Christians will help us today in our life. As individuals, men, women, boys, and girls, that way our life will be clean and pure, and we set the right example, and our goal is heaven, and we can be faithful to get there by reaping the things the gospel teaches us to do and obeying those things, having the proper mindset, having the proper actions in our life, and that will result then, when we listen to God, in having a better home life and a good relationship with those with whom we work and those with whom we do business. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul talks about the fact that Christians should pray for opportunities to teach the gospel. We pray for our brethren that we support in other places. Church at Beulah supports, I believe, 4 of the men. Don, is that correct? In the United States and other places. And we pray that the gospel will have free course. We pray that those men will be safe. We pray that their souls will be saved. Recently, we've had some of those men come and stand in this pulpit and give us a report of things that's going on in Africa and other places. And that's our duty. That's our responsibility. We want to help support the gospel and those men that hold up their hands. Paul says we need to pray for opportunities to teach the gospel. In the prayer this morning, it was prayed concerning young men, that they'd be young men who would believe God and study His Word and be able to one day become teachers and perhaps leaders in the church. And so pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities to teach the gospel. So we need to pray that the gospel will have free course, that there'll be others who are here, but pray for an opportunity to teach the gospel. The opportunities may come our way that we can study with other people. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well. Paul's talking about himself, that God may open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. So pray for those who minister. Pray for those who teach. Pray that there might be opportunities for the gospel to be taught to a lost and dying world, to those who have not heard it. Pray that the gospel may be shared in this community and other places. And then when we pray, we put our actions on that. We put the legs on those prayers. We go out and we do what we can to get a Bible study. Invite others. Encourage others to study the Word of God. So what Paul is telling us in this letter to the Colossians is simply that every day you live, we ought to be serving God and obeying the gospel and have the right attitude and grow in Christ and be spiritually strong, and our life will be better at work, in the community, socially, in business, in the home, and pray for opportunities to spread the gospel. He goes further then in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 4, and he says that reading the Scripture is very important. Reading the Bible ought to be a priority for me. It ought to be a priority for you. It ought to be something that we do on a regular basis and as often as we can make that opportunity happen. We don't have to literally have to have the book and the pages anymore, because you can listen to it writing the work. You can listen to it on tape, and there's so many ways to hear the Word of God taught today. And there are different ones. Jay Heatherly and some of them talk about listening to sermons of Bill Hall and Mike Webb and others as they drive to Birmingham and back to work. They are listening to the seed. They're listening to the Word. And so they are listening to the Bible being taught. And so Colossians 4 and verse 16, the Word of God is important, and it ought to be a priority in studying that. He says, "And when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church, all the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea." So, reading the Bible is a priority. Reading the letters that have been written by the Apostle Paul and other inspired men that are in God's Word, that came from God, these need to be read. We're studying on Wednesday night, Brother Adam Guthrie's class, in the book of Hebrews, and we're tying in the things that happen, the events in order that happen in the Bible, and the times they happen. And so those things that happen in the Bible from the creation on down through the ages, when we look at that, those things that fall into place, and then study the book of Hebrews to see that here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is made so much better than the angels, and He is the high priest today. When we study those things and we read the Bible, we understand God's plan. We understand God's scheme of redemption. We understand where we came from, how we came to be on this earth, and what God's plan is for us, and our responsibility to God, our responsibility to the others. Reading the Bible is so very important. The Bible is important not only for all of us, it's important for everyone, because we have to have faith in God to please Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Faith in God is important, because without faith we cannot please God. Hebrews 11 6. How do we get faith? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when Paul said, read these letters that have been written, read the letter among you, and have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. So Paul's saying, you got letter here, letter there, you read this and send it to them, they read this and they'll read to you. We've got it all right here in the Bible. It's all together now. So we can read Paul's letters. We can read what Peter wrote. We can read what Jesus said. We can read the records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can read some things David said. We can read about Noah. We can read about Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all those things of the Old Testament and the New, it's here before us. The study of the Bible is so very important. I don't want to recall names, but I will. Sister Billy Blankenship is here with us tonight. Now, many of you know her. She worships at Prospect. And her sons were close to my age. I am older than they are. She's not old enough to have a son my age. But anyway, they were about my age when we were growing up. And you visit her house. And you go in there to get something out of the refrigerator, like some cold water or a snack. There was always Bible verses that she had posted. And whenever growing up, she would change those verses ever so often. Ever so many days. They had to learn those verses. When they go to and boys have a good appetite, she knew that. So when they go to get something out, they had a Bible verse. They would learn that verse, and when they learned that one, she'd put them up with them. And they'd learn that. Just a good technique to have someone say, this is what the Bible says. This is the verse that I need to remember. This is something that will help me. So Paul's saying, Christians, we need to take the letters that have been written from God by the hand of Paul and others and read them and study them and learn them, and they will help us. It'll help us to have the right attitude. It'll help us to have good actions and a good lifestyle. It'll help us in our home. It'll help us in business. It'll help us in our working relationships. It'll help us to pray in the right way and for the right things. We need to read and study. Well, the letter to the Colossians. We just had a short overview this morning and this evening. Due to the fact we've got a gospel meeting starting next Sunday with Bill Hall, and we're holding off on our study on the church and the elders and deacons, because he's going to preach some on that. And whatever he don't cover next week, the Lord's willing, the week after, we'll start back up. And probably won't be much left to be said on that regard after he finishes next week. So, but we wanted this overview on Colossians just to kind of motivate us as Christians. Paul wrote to the church. He wrote to Christians. What he wrote to them applies to us. Let us listen to what Paul had to say. It will help us, brethren, to be better people. Men and women, boys and girls. It will help the church at Butte to be better, to be what we ought to be. The gospel will be spread and we'll grow through it, and other people will have an opportunity to hear it. So the letter to the Colossians reminds us of who we are and what God has done for us through His Son. It talks about all so many spiritual blessings that we have through Christ Jesus and what those blessings can do for us as individuals to make us better men and women and boys and girls. And it talks about the fact that through the grace of God, we've been delivered from that darkness of domain and sin and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, into that kingdom of light, in whom Jesus, we have redemption that forgives us sins. What a great message to have in the book of Colossians. And it also tells us that we are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ and through His blood when we by faith obey and access that forgiveness. That's the way we do it. So don't be deceived in the way that we are reconciled to God. It is by His grace, it is by His mercy, and it is through His Son and our faith in it and obedience to it. Well, the letter of Colossians, as we mentioned, is one of the inspired books. It is from God. It was given through the revelation of the Holy Spirit to Paul, who was an apostle, and he penned this paper to Christians. It applies to you and I today. We need to read it, we need to study it, and then we need to apply it. And we need to continue in all the things that we study and learn and abstain from the things that He warns us not to be partakers of. So let us continue to study in our lives and grow, no matter what age we are. If we're older, if we're younger, let's continue to study and get in the book, learn what God wants us to be. And if we'll apply it to our lives, we'll be as God would want us to be when we by faith obey. Not only will we be better men and women, boys and girls, but we'll see things happen in the church. We'll see men and women become teachers. We'll see children growing up obeying their parents. We'll see husbands and wives treating each other correctly, parents treating their children right, and we'll see our life in business, socially, and at work, and in business, and in community be what they ought to be. And we'll see the church at Beulah be strong, and we'll be a good example to those in the community. Appreciate your attention this evening, and if you're here and you're not a child of God, we encourage you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We encourage you to be willing to come forward and confess that, repent of your sins and be baptized, and you can leave this building a Christian, a child of God, because the Lord Himself will add you to the church. Perhaps you're here and there's something in your life as a Christian that you need to correct in a public way. We're going to be led in the invitation song, and if we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.
Someday you'll stand before the Lord.